He's just getting on the fleshy side of me when we talk about this whole electric power outage thing. That irritates me beyond measure. I can probably count on, I think I can remember being without electricity twice in Wyoming, South Dakota, in my whole entire life. And these were bad, bad blizzards. Honkers. Three times in 9 years. For extended times, we've been out of power here. Well, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us all through this safely and fed and warm. We're warm now. Thank you for the sunshine. We praise you for this. It's a blessing. Father, we thank you for taking care of us in spite of ourselves. We thank you for blessing us in spite of ourselves. Father, we thank you for letting us be in your family. You are the good shepherd, and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Pressure on people to take the vaccine. But I'm going to tell you the most surest way to protect yourself is God. And actually, you're not protecting yourself. He's protecting you. When we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that's what we're doing. When we take the communion, we're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. We're throwing it all on to Him. You know, we're saying, we can't take care of ourselves. Only you can. I never realized how much pride was in people till just now concerning these vaccines. They're basically saying, God, we got this handled. We'll take care of it on our own. We know what to do. That's foolishness. The best thing we can do is throw ourselves on the mercy of God and say, you've given us the communion for our well-being and our health, our healing. We're taking it. It was by your stripes that we were healed. And your body was broken for us. Your body was pierced for us. Your body was beaten for us. We thank you for this. We receive your healing by faith in Jesus' name. Your blood was shed on purpose for us, for our salvation. Healing is part of salvation. Not only did your blood wash away our sins, but your blood protects us. We plead the blood of Jesus, and we stay under the blood of Jesus. And your blood made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we are in right standing with the Father now. We thank you for this, in Jesus' name. I got that just revelation just now. All these, the Bible tells us that in the Deuteronomy blessings. It tells us what the blessings are, but then after that talks about the curses. And it goes on and says, every sickness that isn't even named shall come upon you. All those sicknesses of Egypt. And so we keep on discovering these new diseases, these new sicknesses. Every year there's a major one. You know, have you noticed that? Every year there's a major one that's going to end the earth as we know it. You know, when I was a kid, they had sleeping sickness. And then it went on and on and on, you know, and then it was West Nile, and it was all these other different things, pigeon flu, bird flu, swine flu. But you've been redeemed from that curse. But the pride of man says, here, I can fix this. And then they profit from people by not fixing it. They have to have a recurring inoculation. Amen. But God fixed it. And then he gave us the recipe. Amen. Isn't that amazing? A little bit of wine and a little bit of bread. And mix it with faith. And we receive healing and well-being. Amen? So, open up your Bibles to the book of Mark, I believe it is. Yes, Mark chapter 10, and we're going to go on. We've been studying faith. We learned what it was to sit by faith, walk by faith. Now we're going to learn to stand by faith. You know, that's where a lot of times people miss the boat. You know, they've learned that they got to receive this from God, and then they got to go ahead and walk it out. But after a little while, it gets to the point where you got to stand. This is important. This is where you're waiting for the manifestation. You know, you might call it that time that there's a void there where you went through the building of faith, you went through the prayer of faith, and you went through the confession of faith, and now this is where people nix their deal a lot of times, you know, because it didn't manifest within 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks. So they just stop and they say, well, I must have did it wrong, and they go back and start over. You did it right. Now you got to let patience have her perfect work. You know, we've gotten in this time, this dispensation of time we're in, where, you know, we can push a button and we can get an email or we can get a download within minutes or sometimes seconds. You know, it used to be we'd have to go cut out a little thing out of the news, out of the magazine, fill it out, get a money order or a check, put it in an envelope, mail it. A week and a half later, they'd get there. They'd sort through it. They'd fill the order. A week later, they'd ship it out. And a week and a half later, you'd get it. So you might be waiting sometimes a month to get your information. And then they came up with fax machines. You know, that was pretty cool. We could get information a little faster. And then we got emails. You know, now we just got instant, just punch a button and it's all right there within seconds. That hasn't really helped us in the faith department. You know, we're used to everything now. We want what we want. We want it now. You know, we can get everything fast. And if we got to wait for a little bit, it frustrates us. Heaven forbid a cloud should come by and slow the internet down for a little bit. Well, really, we live in this time where we get everything now, and it's not helping your faith walk. You know, because now it gets to where you may have to stand and believe God. It may take several weeks. It may take several months. It may take several years. It took Abraham 25 years. That's half my life. But he stayed true. He stayed going. I didn't say that he didn't make mistakes, but he stayed true. He kept believing God that he would do what he said he would do. He was fully persuaded. That's how we need to be. We need to be fully persuaded. We do the prayer of faith. We walk it out by faith. Eventually, you're going to have to just stop and say, okay, it's mine. And the devil's going to say, well, where is it? And you know whose voice box he's going to use? Some of your Christian friends. That drives me nuts. When you're believing for something and some Christian comes up and say, well, where is it? There should be a special law. I'm not going to go there. Don't do that. When you find somebody that's standing in faith waiting on something, say, tell me how I can agree with you. What scripture are you standing on so I can get into agreement with you and get this thing in high gear? Get the prayer of agreement going on it. Amen? The church world is full of naysayers, if you haven't noticed. But here's the thing. Glenn Smith said, no matter how bad things get, you're always going to have three that will agree with you. Always. God will agree with you. Jesus will agree with you. The Holy Spirit will agree with you. The whole world may be against you, but those three will always agree with you. If you're standing on the Word, they will agree with you. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to stand on the Word. But you're going to have to get a little bit of a pit bull mentality on the Word of God. Too many Christians are walking around with a weak heart attitude. They want the things of God. They're not willing to fight for the things of God. You know, they think they should just go up to the smorgasbord and get it, and there it is, and they got it, and they're not ever going to be in a fight. Did you know there is a devil out there? He still exists. He's still active. And he's still going to be against you receiving the promises of God. Amen? But look at this. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, how it's in sometimes the most impossible situations where people will set their will. We're going to be talking about setting your will to get something. Your will is a powerful force. You need to have a strong will. You need to be strong-willed. And it seems to be easier when you're about ready to drown. That's when you get strong-willed or you sink. See, you have a choice. You can fight or you can roll up and play possum. But here's the deal. You roll up and play possum, the devil is not going to go away. just because you give up. He's just going to make things worse for you. Amen? You got to get some fight in your Christian faith. Matthew chapter 10, verse 46. As they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Now, sometimes you got to just stop and play this motion picture in your mind. It's okay to daydream. Come on in, Myra. What are you up to? Well, come on in. You don't have to sneak. What are you? Well, come boldly on up here.
Last week, and they say, "Well, what
did
you go for?"
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Well, okay, we love you. Bye bye. Roll these motion pictures through your mind when you get into these stories here. Here's Jesus. Everybody's been talking about him. And he's walking out of this city. And here's blind Bartimaeus, who's in a sink or swim situation. And he hollers out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And all the popular people say, "Shut up, boy. You're not popular here. You're not part of this group." That made things even more desperate for him. He said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." What's he doing? He's going against all the popular belief. He's pressing in. He's saying, "Jesus, I gotta have this now." And they said, "Shut up." But Jesus heard him and he stopped. And then guess what all the cool people said? "Hey, he's gonna hear you. Come on up." See how fast the worm turns in this world? Don't be caught telling somebody to shut up. You be the one bringing them in. Bring them in to Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the one that can fix it. Now look what blind Bartimaeus did. Right at this point in time, says he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now that sounds like just a cool part of the story, but if you see, one of the things about learning the Bible, you're going to have to learn the culture, the customs, the geography, some of that stuff. Learn some of that stuff. Spend some time learning that stuff. This wasn't just a coat. It wasn't just a garment. In that time, in that place, to be a beggar, legally, you had to wear a special coat. that would identify you as a beggar so people could see you as a beggar. And then they could go give you money if they so chose. So really what that coat was, that was his license to make a living. See, he had the welfare system going in his favor as good as he could. He had the license to make a living. He could beg and make a living as such as it was. But he wanted more. See, he was tired of living hand to mouth. He didn't want to just exist anymore. He wanted to live. There are too many Christians that are settling for good enough. Said, I'm okay. I got a house. I got clothes. I got a job. What more do I need? Now you got your needs met. Now meet the needs of somebody else. You know, God has this overabundance in his kingdom, and he wants to flow it into you so he can flow it through you into somebody else. It's good that you can pay your bills, have food on the table. What about your neighbor? What about your neighbor? Do they have enough to eat? Do they have a way to get enough food in their table? See, there's always an expansion of your faith realm for you. It's just around the corner. Barnabas threw his coat away. He threw it away. He was going to receive from Jesus. In his mind's eye, he had it. He said, basically, all he needed was just an appointment to talk to him. And all those people were in his way. All these followers of Jesus were in his way. He said, I'm not going to let these guys get in my way. I'm going to push in. And he pushed in. Jesus answered and said unto him, What will thou that I should do unto you? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. See, he was in a sink or swim situation. Now, mental ascent would have had that man wear his coat up to Jesus, hoping that something happened. Mental ascent will have that man go to Jesus, but before he goes to Jesus, he's going to get inoculated, and then he's going to go to Jesus and hope everything works out all right. Mental ascent is going to say, I'm going to ask God for something, but the wisdom of this world is going to be my crutch until I get what I get from God. They ain't going to get it. I can tell you firsthand, it's not going to work that way. I tried that trick. You don't have to. You know, you can learn from other people's experiences. They call it OPI. Learn from other people's experiences. Throw the crutch away. I noticed in the Bible when people got something really dramatic happen in their life, they did something. They'd throw their coat away. They'd jump out of the boat. They'd give what they had away. And then God would do an absolute miracle in their life. Wouldn't you consider receiving your sight an absolute miracle from God? Amen. What happened? You know, the lady with the issue of blood come running down at the risk of her own life. You know, she had been destitute. You know, the Bible tells us that she had been all those years with that hemorrhage of blood. She had been all those years trying to get help from the doctors, and the doctors didn't do anything but take her money. Have you noticed that? Doctors are good at taking your money. They ain't worth a... You know what? At getting you healed. They get you... They can get your symptoms masked, covered over. But true healing that comes from God. So then when they run into these people sometimes that get healed by God, and the doctors just say, you one of those Jesus freaks? One of those Jesus people? What's wrong with you? And then they go to bombarding them with bad information, trying to get them in doubt and unbelief. Don't fall into that. Receive your healing from God and walk on. Amen? So let's get to the... back to the notes here. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. The first step in defeating Satan's attack against you is to make the decision to stand on the Word of God in all areas of your life. He's gonna attack. And sometimes he'll use other Christians to attack you. Well, he'll use them to attack your faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So you're going to be convinced that God's promises are yours personally, and that what He has promised, He is able also to perform. You're going to become fully persuaded. Remember, we learned that we're going to have to find a promise in the Bible, and we're going to have to meditate on it, because we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we're going to feed on that Word of God. It's not about memorization. It's not about looking cool in contests. It's about getting revelation in your heart. One scripture that you have a revelation of in your heart will take you farther than five chapters memorized. You know, there's people, they can just quote the Bible chapter after chapter. I mean, they got it memorized way better than I ever will. But they have little revelation in their heart of what that word is, so they don't enjoy the benefits of it. So it's not about memorization, it's about revelation. Getting it in your heart, becoming fully persuaded. Understanding that God is able to perform what He said He would do. Understanding that these promises are yours. You know, you believe God. You set your will. That's your mind, will, and emotions. You set your will by faith upon the Word of God, and having done all, you determine to stand. You know, blind Bartimaeus, he was in that sink or swim situation right there. he wasn't going to let his emotions have anything to do with what he believed. He could have got emotional when all the popular people said, just shut up and sit down. He said, no, I'm having this. This is mine. So I'm going to get this. Everybody gets at these crossroads at some point. Depending on your experience with the Word of God and what you determined in your heart you're going to believe and operate in is going to determine the outcome. One time I was believing from hand to mouth, and I got a miracle. It was like $50 or something. $50 is a miracle. At that time, $50 was huge. And I got it, and it was like, wow. And I shared that little testimony with some people there in this Bible study. And there were two ladies, they were looking at me kind of sideways, and they said, we just never experienced anything like that. Well, I knew that they had been born into oil money, and finances were just something that was just there. They never had to believe for anything. They missed out on that faith-building environment. Sometimes the struggles in life are your biggest faith-building adventures that you're ever going to have. You win with the Word of God. Don't give up. I don't know if you've noticed this, but you can stay in the same place for a half a second. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. But you're not going to stay in the same place. So if you give up and sit on the sofa and say, I can't do this. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not going to do this. You started sliding back immediately. Wayne Myers said, if your testimony is over 24 hours old, you're backsliding. This guy, if you ever have experienced Wayne Myers, you've really experienced somebody in the kingdom of God. You know, an amazing man. But he's right. If you give up, that doesn't mean the devil's going to go away. Your opponent doesn't go away. He's just going to sit there and keep racking up points on you. So you just as well stand up and fight. Well, I can't. You can. The Bible says be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So you don't have to be a hot shot. Start getting some word in you. The more word you get in you, the stronger you're going to get. You're going to be able to fight this off. But you're going to have to determine in your own heart that you're going to do this. And then you're going to have to set your will to it. You know, when you were a sinner, the devil couldn't do anything to stop you from being born again once you decided you was going to be born again. He couldn't stop you. Even one time I seen a guy one time that couldn't move his tongue when he decided to get born again. I asked him, I said, why don't you get born again? He said, I want to. I can't move my tongue when it's time to pray. I can't move my tongue. I said, well, that's easy to fix. And he looked at me and he said, "How?" He said, "Would you give me permission to have authority in your life for a little bit?" He said, "Yeah." I cast that devil out of his body. And I said, "Now can you move your tongue?" And he said, "I think so." I said, "Say this prayer out of your mouth so your ears can hear it." And he got born again. By the time my boss got back, he's upstairs sitting on a bucket laughing like crazy. My boss come walking in the house and he said, "What's going on?" And he looked and then he looked at me and said, "Oh." He don't even go in there. The guy got the baptism of the Holy Spirit too. He was having a good time and he got set free. But he wanted to get born again. The devil couldn't stop him. Amen? Here's the thing you need to understand. Your will is the pivotal point or the determining factor in your triune being. Willing is not a passive word. It is a word of extreme determination and action. In fact, it's continual action. Your will. That's why they talk about in these wars, they need to break the will of the opposing army. When you break their will, they give up. False information that people get fed will have them in a state where their will is broken. And they don't think that they can win in life because they've been told for generations they can't win in life. When somebody gets told you're going to be a failure, when they get told that over and over and over and over and over and over again, guess what happens? They become a failure. I'm talking about a man that's not born again. I've been through all that. One day in junior high, I was going through the library, and I ran into this book, and it talked about As You Believe. It was by Kenneth Hagin in the public school library. As a man believeth in his heart. So he said, I grabbed that book, and I started reading that book. And then it started talking about being born again, and I just kind of slid it off to the side. I was so close. I was at a pivotal point. I was so close. God was trying to get it to me. And I just missed it. But he did get the word to me. And then I found out the truth in the Word, what God said about me. This is an important thing. It doesn't matter what anybody else in the world says about you. What matters is what God says about you. Because that's the truth. That out there is a lie. Let God be true and every man be a liar. What He says about you is the absolute truth. So when you take that, then you can change your reality. You can take impossibilities and turn them into things that you conquered. You can go into these places that people told you all your life, you can't go there, you can't be successful there, you don't have enough money to do that, you don't have enough education to do that, you don't go there. But God makes the changes in your life. If everybody in this nation would get a revelation of this, what God says about them is more true than anything they've ever been taught. And that they will pick up a copy of the Constitution and read just that. The Constitution and the Bible. And then set their will to agree that what the Bible and the Constitution says about you is right. They will succeed. They will go through the pain of change. You know, change has things attached to it that people don't want to face sometimes. There's fear attached to change. Did you know that? There's fear attached to the unknown. There's discomfort because it's not the same anymore. There's discomfort because they don't know the answers anymore. They don't know the rules anymore. They don't know what they're going to do anymore. You know, they stepped out of their comfort zone, and this is where you're at a sink or swim. Are you going to set your will? Are you going to set your will to stand by faith? Or are you going to say, man, grandma said this is the way it is. My teacher said this is the way it is. So I don't think, you know, nobody's ever went over there before. Well, how do you know? Do you know everybody in this world? And how do you know who's been there or not? What's the truth? What's reality? I heard an interesting thing one time. After World War II, the United States was doing a study on Japanese people to try to find out how intelligent they were. So they asked them questions like, can cotton grow in Illinois? And they'd say, well, I don't know. So they concluded that they were stupid. Because they didn't know what they knew. They just didn't know the process. One guy set us straight one time. There were six of us standing in front of a computer in the oil field trying to figure out how to make it work. Nothing we were doing was working. And one guy said, well, this is just a piece of junk. Let's get rid of it. Another guy said, no, this is a good piece of equipment. We just don't know how to operate it. Perspective is everything. How you see yourself. How you see yourself will affect your will, will affect your emotions. 10 spies went into the promised land and they seen themselves as grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. So they gave up and came back and said, we can't do this. Two others, the Bible described them as having a different spirit. They said, we can go in there and we can do the impossible. Why? Because they took God's word personal. They didn't, it wasn't mental assent with them. They mixed it with faith. They took what God said and they mixed it with faith in their heart, and they set their will to go in there, and they were going to have this land flowing with milk and honey that he talked about. The other 10, they heard that same word. They heard God say that same thing. They heard Moses say it. They heard it. They heard Joshua say it. They went in there. Joshua went in there with Caleb, and they come back out. They said, yeah! The other 10, they tried to mix it with mental assent. They said, we'll go in there, and if the going looks good, we'll rock and roll with this thing. But they went in there and they seen the giants. And they said, we can't do this. They seen the wind and the waves. People are always looking at impossibilities instead of looking at possibilities. Can we do this? What if God shows up and makes this thing happen? You know, doubt and unbelief will destroy more things than anybody can even imagine. A little bit of faith, just a little bit of faith, will see the thing through. It will see the impossible things through. But you got to get into agreement with it. That's where a lot of times people that truly are walking in faith get crosswise with people that are church people but are practicing mental assent. Because when they get out there and the water starts getting rough and the doubt and unbelief starts flowing, the people that are in faith start getting irritated with that. They don't want to hear it. They're looking for God's possibilities. They're looking for God's provision. They're looking for God's healing. They're looking for God to show up and show off. And these other guys have been playing church and wondering why things aren't working the way they planned on it. Amen? We better stop there because we're not going to get through these notes anyway. So thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for showing us how to sit by faith and walk by faith, and now how to stand by faith. You're developing in us a God inside consciousness, a righteousness mentality. And it's because of what Jesus did for us on that cross, with his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we thank you for everything that the blood of Jesus does for us every day. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have lots of cake back here and snacks.